Father, we thank you for another great day. We ask that as we look at your word, that you will speak to us from your word, that you will encourage us, that you will help us to see the spirit in the word. Let it not just be letter only. Let it touch our lives. That is, let your word give us understanding. Let your word transform us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, another great Sunday as well. And again, I was just thinking, well, a number of things have gone through my mind and through my heart over the past couple of weeks. And like I mentioned last week, Sunday, the week before, what I normally do is that I have a sense sometimes of what I believe God wants us to look at. And there was this, there are a number of things that, you know, God, well, that came to my heart that I thought we should look at. And I'd prepared all the notes and all that. But last week, as I was coming, I just had like a whisper in my spirit that I should look at something else, which is faith. And it appears that that's what we're going to focus on going forward till maybe I get a sense of doing something else. Then the other bits that I was going to discuss before, those we'll look at, you know, subsequently. But I just think it's really fundamental that we look at faith, because the Bible tells us that faith is, it's the bedrock of everything that has to do with God. And I believe that as we have a better understanding of faith, and as I as well am having a better understanding of faith, it will really help our walk with God. Because now I'm realizing more and more, you know, over the months, over the years, that really the most important thing for us or for anyone to have a good journey, I say, with God is faith. And I'll look at some of those things today. Last week we looked at something we called faith that accomplishes. We looked at the story of Nehemiah and how this man was just an ordinary man, so to speak. There was nothing extraordinary about him. He didn't have any special skills, so it seemed. But because of his faith in God, he was able to accomplish so much that, you know, he's written about in the Bible. We're still reading about him thousands of years, you know, later. Today, we want to continue looking at faith. And I'm going to look at five things about faith. Now, what I want to do, I don't want to make it seem like a lecture saying step one, step two, step three. But obviously, I need to outline these things. And I'll just try as much as possible to relate this faith to real life, how it has really helped me to really understand God better. Now, what I always say is that anything I talk about here, as much as possible, I don't theorize. What I mean by that, okay, there might be a topic I want to talk about and all that, but what I see is, what I do first of all is that this thing that I want to talk about, how really has it affected my own life? How has it transformed my life? How is it transforming my life at this time? What are the challenges I'm having understanding this? And I believe it is when I do that, that whenever I speak about stuff like this, that it's able to really touch us as well, because I'm not looking at it from a theoretical perspective. Do you understand? So it's not like I'm there 100% or 80%, but it's stuff that I apply to my life personally. I was telling Dickness the other day that I think the way God does it with me is that he makes me drink my own medicine first. I'm telling you, he makes me drink it first before I can dish it out. And if I dish it out without drinking it, he's waiting for me in the front. I'm telling you, to drink it, to say, okay, you said this. Now, why don't you have a sip of this, this liquid mixture from the Bible here, my friend. But the great thing is that God's medicine always makes you better. It might be bitter in your mouth sometimes, but it always has the desired result. So we want to look at faith. And we look at the first thing that the Bible talks about faith. And this is quite a popular passage. It looks at it from the book of Hebrews chapter 1. What is faith? It says, I'm going to read from the King James, and I'm going to read from the New International Version as well. From King James Version, it says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's the King James Version. The NIV version says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, this begins to tell us something, that faith is very important. And it's very important, first of all, that number one, God whom we worship, God who has saved us, God who has touched our lives, we do not see him physically. And a lot of the times, like, we kind of like almost overlook the fact that, look, we gather, we praise, we sing, but we don't see God physically. That means in our hearts, without us realizing it sometimes, we have faith that God exists, even though we do not see him. So that's the very, very foundation of faith. It is, as this NIV version says, it says, the latter part is that certain of what we do not see, certain of it. That's what faith is about. Now, I now realize that, look, for us to really walk, let me not use the word successfully with God, but let me just say, for us to really get the best out of our Christian faith, for us to really get to the point where it's real in our lives and it's just not a theory that we recite in the Bible, for faith to really get to the point where it saturates our life, where when we wake up in the morning or whatever decisions we make, it is infused with faith, then we need to really begin to look at what this faith that we're talking about, what is it really? What are the characteristics of this faith that we're talking about? How should we approach this faith that we're talking about? Do you understand? So I'm going to look at a number of things today, but just to give us the perspective that this is the definition of faith. Now, what we need to realize is that there are different kinds of faith. I'm not going to go into too much into that. There's the natural faith and there's God's kind of faith. Now, some people, I mean, there's this phrase that you might hear sometimes, like you're doing some stuff, maybe you're facing some challenges, and some people say, oh, as a phrase, oh, have faith. Or they might say, I have faith in this person, as a conversational language. Now, I'm not talking about just that kind of faith. I'm talking about faith as it relates to God. Not faith from our physical, normal, everyday perspective and things. You know, some people say, oh, have faith in this. I have faith in you. I have faith, you know. No, I'm not talking about that. That has its place. But I want to focus on faith that is God's kind of faith, which is totally different from those other kinds of conversational faiths that we see. Now, I'm going to read the first part. Now, the first thing I want to say about faith is this. I'll look at five things. But like I said, I've just put those five things together. I don't want to make it seem like a step-by-step thing, but I have to organize this in a way that makes sense. You get what I mean? So the first thing is this. What is faith? Now, we've read what faith is from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. But I've said here, faith is, I would describe it as, simple trust in God when you don't understand or see how things are going to pan out, if I can use that phrase. So I'll say faith is simple trust in God. Let's leave the theology behind. It's just like, for example, you might say, there's you have like a three-year-old, and that three-year-old comes to their dad or their mom, and they say, well, dad, mom, let's 3 years old, they're a bit more knowledgeable. Let's even say like a one-year-old, and he comes and says, Dada, I want that aeroplane that is flying there. Can you buy it for me, please, Dad? Because he's looked in the sky and he's seen it flying and he's like, oh, I think I should get one of those. And he goes and says, Dada, can I have one of those aeroplanes? Or even the more grown-up ones, they come and say, oh, Dad or Mom or Auntie, can I have that PlayStation, that Wii, this, tomorrow, please? Thank you. And they walk away. How? They haven't considered the fact that, well, it costs money. That consideration is not their business, so to speak. Theirs is that they believe that this auntie or this uncle can get the job done for them. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? Faith in God's perspective, I believe is like that. It's a simple trust. Nothing complicated at all. In fact, Apostle was even saying that nowadays as Christians, because we've read so many books where our head is full of theology, and just the simple things the Bible says, we theorize it, we think about, we analyze it. Back in the days, I mean, the Bible was, if this is this, they didn't have all these seven steps to break through, seven steps to make your faith grow. I'm not, you know, saying those are not good. They're not saying 14 steps. Repeat the steps and I can guarantee you that your faith will leap through the ceiling. Then they'll show a man on the book, you know, like this. Faith to conquer. To be honest, I like those phrases. We Christians, we have these really nice words. Faith that overcomes, faith that destroys, faith that builds, faith that achieves. In fact, I think I've used some of them myself. But sometimes these things, they clog up the simplicity of it. The simplicity of it. It just clog up the simplicity of our faith. So the first thing I want to say is this. Faith is simple trust. Faith is simple trust. I want us to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 12. And I'm going to read something, as this will be the background story that we're going to use to illustrate this. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 to 14. Now, as I read this thing, what I'd like us to do is to put ourselves in the position of this people that we're reading about. And let's try and relate it to our lives as well and say, if it were you, how would you feel? If you were the one that this happened to, what would be going on through your mind? Now, we read the story of Abraham here, and I'm going to read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. It says, "And the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." He says, "I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. All the people on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. All right. So we see the story of a man here. He was going about his business. God appeared to him out of the blues. And he said, look, leave your country. And he made him a lot of promises. This will happen to you. That will happen to you. This guy then it's not like a pastor told him or a prophet. God himself appeared to this man and told him that. Imagine you're in your house, you know, you're just in the kitchen, raiding the fridge in the night or something. And God appears to you face to face, and it begins to tell you certain things. This will happen to you. This will happen to you. What would that do to your confidence? I'm sure when you leave your house the next morning, I don't know about you, this is how I'll be walking. Anybody that says, hello, Pastor Benson, I'll say, hello. Why? Because I have just met God face to face and he has made me this promise. Do you get what I mean? I'll be on top of the world. Do you understand what I mean? So imagine that scenario. This man now does that. Let's jump to Genesis chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. This man leaves. He probably was okay where he was, so to speak, and see what happens. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 9 and 10. I wanted to see something. It says, "And Abraham set out and continued toward Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went to Egypt." We see what happens to this guy. I mean, God said, "I'll make you this and that. You are blessed and all that." And this man says, "Okay, no problem." Packs up his family. And the first thing he meets is what? Famine in the land that God sent him to. Isn't that really strange? I find that really strange, to be honest. So, for example, and you know, this is something that has really, really helped me over the years. To know that, look, God is God. God's ways, he says sometimes, they're higher than our ways. Now, it's taken me a while, and sometimes I still kind of like struggle with some of these things. Why? Because I used to be an accountant, and I deal in facts, and I deal in 1 + 1 to me must be 2. Do you understand what I mean? What that means for me is that, look, if God says this to me, if I do this, 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 and this, this should happen. Or, you know, if God says, you know, it should happen step by step. Because I'm an accountant, well, ex-accountant, but it never leaves you anyway. And I write programs. So if I do assign this variable, press enter, 5 should come out. If it's 7, then there's a bug in that program. You get what I mean? So for me, understanding faith and really applying faith sometimes is slightly challenging because faith is not 1 + 1. It's equal to 2. Not all the time. Sometimes, yes, but it's not always the case. So this man leaves, and the first thing that this man sees is famine. What would have been running through this man's mind? I can tell you some of the things that maybe might be occurring to him, like, did God really tell me this thing? Have I made the wrong move? Should I have just stayed where I was? You know what I mean? Or, you know, should I have just not done this thing? Should I have just stayed put? Should I have just managed where I was? Should I have just lived life at the level I was living in, you know, just little by... Did God really tell me to do this thing? Now, why would we say that? We would say that because automatically when God tells us to do something, a lot of the times, it should work out of the box. Come on, shouldn't it? It should. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes it works like that, but sometimes it doesn't. This is now where faith comes into the business. So the first thing I said is that faith is simple trust in God. Now, the other thing as well that faith looks at is, if we flip back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, 11, verse 1. It says something there. So the first thing we say is that faith is simple trust in God. Now, as we begin the journey of faith, there's something that begins to happen. Paul was saying, I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight now that my end is near. The fight that we fight in this realm is a fight of faith. The fight that we fight in the Christian walk is a fight of faith. And I can tell you that if one is able to really understand the fight of faith and how it works, the victory that God has given you, you will get into it all the time. Eventually, you will get into it. I will get into it all the time. So faith, as we understand it, is very important. So we say faith is simple trust. The next thing we want to see is that in faith, there's some ingredients of faith that we need to really be aware of. And these ingredients are things that come under attack, so to speak, in our fight of faith. But if we realize that this is what is actually going on behind the scenes, that understanding will help us to know that, okay, no problem, this is what is happening, this is what I ought to do. Now, the second thing I'm going to mention is this. There is a very important ingredient of faith, and it's called hope. It says here, Hebrews 11, chapter 1, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So what is hope? I took the liberty of looking up an all online dictionary. It says, hope is a feeling of expectation and a desire for a particular thing to happen. I'll say that again. It says, it is a feeling of expectation and a desire for something to happen. Now, we begin to see that as part of this faith walk, hope is very important. So if, for example, I wanted to really discourage someone, one thing I could do, if I wanted to like really hit their faith, I can make them, not I, the best thing would be to try and put them in a position where they feel hopeless. Hopelessness. Now, this might be, I mean, come on, Pastor Benson, this is so straightforward. Yes, it is so straightforward, but there are people who have been Christians for a long time who maybe have forgotten this. And there are times that we go through this and we sometimes forget this. But what hope does is this. Hope is one of the main ingredients of faith. Because really, if you have no expectation, you will just let go of everything. You will let go of everything. You might even let go of God's promises for you. And it's like, it doesn't work. Just let's forget it. In that instance, it is hope that is under attack. It is hope that is under attack. Now, let us look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. The Bible tells us something there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. He says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Do not throw away your confidence. Excuse me. It will be richly rewarded. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be really richly rewarded. So what that means is that as we go along the journey of faith, one thing we must be really careful about is that we never lose hope. Irrespective of wherever it is that someone is, even if what you're looking at hasn't come to pass, we must never lose hope. Because this could have happened to Abraham. Now, again, it's not all the time that this happens that God makes a promise to us and it takes a while or whatever. No, sometimes it just happens on the spot. But there are times that it doesn't. But if it doesn't, what we need to do is to really keep our hope alive. You see, the Bible says something in the book of Hebrews as well. And it says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It now says, while the day is still far, let us gather and let us encourage one another. So this is the challenge for people who don't attend church meetings. Some people will say, look, I'm going through a situation. I want to sort it out myself. I want to stay at home and pray through. What are you praying through at home? By yourself. You don't want to meet with other Christians. That's not the way God designed it. Yeah, you should pray through, but there is something about keeping hope alive. And when we keep hope alive, we do it like this. As I'm talking, maybe I meet another person who is, you know, a Christian, and I'm going through a particular challenge, and they're like, oh, don't worry about it. And they encourage me. They keep my hope alive. Hope is very important. Because if a man who is not even a Christian loses hope, that's the end of that person. Because the person has said in their mind, what they're saying is this, I've had it with life. There's no point. And that person just becomes a number. Hope is important. And the Bible says, do not throw away your hope. Do not cast away your confidence. Because it says it will be richly rewarded. It didn't say it may. It doesn't say maybe it will be. It says it will be. Do you understand? So we realize that, look, whatever it is we're doing, maybe in our business, our studies, and particularly when it comes to work that God has called us to do, we must never lose hope. Never. We must never. The other thing I wanted to mention is about faith. So we said faith is simple trust in God. It works. Hope is very important. It's the thing that, you know, gives faith, gives you the expectation. The other thing is love. Now, love, what does love have to do with all this thing we're talking about? You see, if we have or begin to understand Paul prayed a prayer in the book of, I think, Ephesians. It says that God should open our eyes that we may know the breadth, the depth, the breadth of the love of Christ. And you're like, come on, you know, what kind of prayer is that? You know, we know God loves us already. No. He says that we may understand it. Because I was thinking about this Paul man, and a couple of things have just started to pop up in my heart about how such a man can risk his life, could have risked his life several times to preach the gospel. It's not like, you know, he was being paid for it, or, you know, there was something that he understood. There were loads of things he understood, actually. But one thing I want to point out is this. Love is very important in the business of faith with God. There are other things, but how does this work? How does it help faith? Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. There are some other scriptures as well. We can look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. But let's look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And I believe that as we look at these things, they will really help us. Jeremiah chapter 29, 11. So I've said faith is simple trust. Hope is very important. The third thing I want to look at is love. Anyway, Jeremiah chapter 9 and 29 verse 11. I'll quote that. It says, "The thoughts that I have for you are thoughts of good. The plans I have for you are plans of good, not of evil, to give you a hope and future." In NIV version, in King James version, it says, "to give you an expected end." All right. So, what part does love have to play in the business of faith? Now, excuse me. Love has to pay. The part that love plays is this. If we understand and we believe that God loves us, are we all right? Don't worry. Let's just leave it. I'll just carry on. All right? You can leave it. I'll just carry on. So Jeremiah 29:11 says God has I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to give a hope and a future. Now, what role does this play in the issue of faith? Do you know that if you really, really know that God loves you, it will help you to have faith in Him? If you really, really begin to know that God's plans for you are good all the time, it will really help your faith. What do I know? Why do I say that? You see, faith, as the Bible has described to us, is being certain of what we do not see. It is based on hope. Now, the person who you are trusting really matters. If you know that the person that you're trusting to make things happen in your life loves you, do you know it makes a difference? So much of a difference, rather than if you're not sure the person has any cares about you at all. So what that means is that no matter where I am, no matter what's happening, in the back of my mind, I want to assure myself all the time that, look, whatever happens, wherever I am at this point is irrelevant. Whether I understand what's going on at the moment or not is irrelevant. One thing I know is this. God cares about me. God has a plan for me, and God wants to see that plan fulfilled, and that plan is good because God loves me. God, because of God's love for me, He will make sure that that plan works, even if some things I don't like happen to me. If we look at the story of Joseph, we don't have to go there, from the book of Genesis. This man, or this boy, God gave him a dream. And this guy had such a challenging life. He couldn't explain why these things were happening to him. I mean, it was terrible. But that guy understood something. And he wasn't even in the New Testament. He understood something about God. Why do I know he understood something about God? Because of his attitude. While he was going through what he was going through, he was still concerned about people. He wasn't bitter. He didn't say, "God, you have left me." Although, you know, if you say that sometimes, you no problem. He understood something about God. So if you know that God has a plan for you, you know that no matter what happens, come rain or shine, you know that God will get you there eventually. Even if you don't know what's happening. Do you understand? But that will come when you know that this God that you're talking about loves you. This God that we're talking about cares about you to the point that He sent His Son to die for you. Do you understand that? I remember, and again, these are things that work in my own life as well. I remember the last job that I was at before I got this one I started. A couple of months, you know, before, you know, I told you guys that, you know, they just called me in and just, you know, read the riot act and I said no problem. Funny enough, about a month before that, there was another company that was, this guy was trying to get me a job somewhere else, but in my heart, I just felt that, look, God wanted me to stay at that place. And I said, you know what, that job that you're talking about, this guy had been going on tracking me and all that. I said, I don't, you know, I'll just stay where I am. Do you understand? Then 1 month later, they now read the riot act and say, oh, sorry, we cut the budget and all that. Now, I could have said, well, God, didn't you tell me to stay in this place? You know what? This hassle, I could have just, you know, and blah, 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 and all that. And maybe I might have been justified. But I knew that, look, God, if I can use the term, has his own plans for me, irrespective of what happens. He knows what's next. And I just left that. So sometimes you might feel like, hang on, I missed that opportunity. Oh my God, I prayed so much. I remember a while ago when I just left university, I was Dickness and I were married then. I did this course. I went for this interview. This interview, the first one took me, they interviewed us for a day. I saw different people with a bank in London. That bank, oh, I was dreaming about working in that bank. I just imagined that. Can you imagine? I was like, you know, I was like, oh my goodness. So when they told me that, they wrote me a letter. Mr. Benson, you passed through the first stage. Ha! I just said, oh, you know, I just said, praise God. I went for the next stage. This was a long time ago. I went for the next stage and I thought, you know, it was really competitive and all that, blah, 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 blah. I just got a letter after that saying, oh, sorry, we will not be able to, after 2 days of interview, we will not be able to carry your application. I was down, man. I was just like, oh, man, God, you know, I really wanted that job, you know? You know? And I just mumbled a bit. And I just, you know, it is just, you know what I mean? But in hindsight, I now saw that, God, thank God you didn't give me that job. Because I saw the trend, you'll have been okay, but I now saw that, oh God, thank you so much. This part that you took me through is fantastic. I've done this. If I'd gone for that job, if they're taking me, this is where I'll have been. Do you understand? But now I understand that no matter what happens, God has my back, if I can use that term. Irrespective, so I don't care. Well, let me not say I don't care, but I'm not really too bothered. I know that no matter what happens, God has me. Why? Jeremiah 29:11. His plan for me all the time and for you is good. I'll look at a number of things more, then we'll just finish. Now, the other thing we need to also see that is very important is from the book of Romans chapter 4 verse 17. And this is a big one. Romans chapter 4 verse 17. We need to really take this to heart about God's kind of faith. God now began to say something in Romans chapter 4 verse 17 concerning Abraham. So Abraham, this Abraham man, the Bible calls him the father of faith. He didn't have a Bible like we have now. We can refer to these people and say, okay, God walked like this in their lives, so God will walk like this in our lives. He didn't have that. But the Bible says something about God's kind of faith, which we must really take to heart. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. Abraham believed in him. And it says, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. We must really understand that, hang on, God's kind of faith is not dependent on circumstances. What did I say? It is not dependent on circumstances. And that is so important. So what that means is that Abraham got to the point where he looked around and physically speaking, All the things God had promised him, they seemed utterly impossible. They looked physically impossible. But there's something God said here. And there's something we need to know about God. So what that means is that God will bypass your circumstances. God will bypass everything around you that is physical. He doesn't need it to get the job done for you or through you. Do you get what I mean? He doesn't need all the things around you to get the job done as will be required naturally. He does not. So whatever your circumstances are saying, whatever my circumstances are saying, the thing we need to keep in mind is this. Whatever God has said, irrespective of how it looks, I'm not bothered. You should not be bothered. Whether you understand it, if you understand it, that's fine. But if you don't, it doesn't matter. Abraham did not have science. He didn't have all this internet to Google it and say, how does God behave? I'm recording myself, so I have to speak. How does God interact with the... Sorry, I'm just kidding. He couldn't Google it and say, 7 steps to breakthrough from this business. None of that. But he understood that. Look, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, it might look that... I was telling someone that, look, the mentality that we need to have, I don't know if it's a, well, you can say, well, and all that. And the mentality that we should have is this. Someone was telling me a while ago that, look, there's recession, there's this, there's that, no problem. There are no jobs. In fact, why should they even employ you? Because you're not like... at that point, you're not like pure British. There's thousands of British people who want jobs. You've come as a foreign person. Why should they employ you in the first place? Then there are thousands who have better qualifications than you. And all that. And Dickens and I were thinking, that's true. But you know what? That time we've become really fancy now. Now then we're raw, rugged. We're like commando Christians. I'm telling, but now, we become a bit soft. We could not be bothered. And you know what I believed then? I said, well, that's true. But you know what? If there's one job that I need and I don't have it, God will make it happen. Irrespective. So what that means is this. Whatever it is God has called you to do or called me to do, irrelevant what's happening apart. We should take note, but we must understand that God's currency of faith doesn't need anything around you. And I'm learning that lesson now. You might say, before I can make it, I need to be connected to a lot of people. I need to really network. You should network to know people. Once I've networked, then my e-commerce business or my business or my this thing can, all those things, they're good. But if that's what you're thinking of, please, there's something that's waiting. And that thing is called regret. If you're waiting for that, we should network. We should be proactive. We should meet people, do all what we need to do. But we need to bear at the back of our mind that, look, this is not what's going to get the job done. Although we need to, it's just like evangelism. We will go out, we will preach, we will plan, we will get the students, we'll do this, we'll do that. Obviously, we need to do that. But we need to bear at the back of our mind that God is the one that gets the job done. That's our faith. Lastly, then I'll close. The next thing that we need to also bear in mind is this. We need something called perseverance and patience. Perseverance and patience. And now let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So this is the final ingredient that I'm looking at today. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So faith also tells us that, look, do not give up. You must persevere. You must really strengthen yourself in God. There's another part, we don't have to look there. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. So what am I saying here? This Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, we must persevere. What that means is that in the face of challenges, in the face of, you know, nothing is happening, what's happening? Am I, you know, in the face of all that, you must persevere. And if you feel weak, the Bible says we go to God and receive strength again. I remember that there was one time that, man, I was so tired. And I was so weary. So two things I did. I just, in my mind, what I do normally is this. The first thing I just thought to my mind, because we're recording, I won't go into more details. I went home and I said, on my mind, one thing I want to do, I want to fry one big pot of plantain. Stew, chicken, rice, all those things, eat all that, get loaded up, relax and sleep. When I now wake up, I'll just tell everybody, please, can you guys excuse me for a while? I need to renew my strength. I now spend time just studying and praying and saying, God, you know what? I'm tired. You know what, God, that job or that thing, I really wanted it, but I know you have the best for me, but I'm, you know, this is how I feel about it. And I renew my strength from God. Not, and I renew my strength from God. And from there, you know, I just dust myself up and I say, okay, round two, here we go again. So what am I saying as I close? I'm saying that if we really take all these things to heart, then life will be able to really walk through this life without losing hope. So we've said faith is simple trust. Hope is important. It walks by love. God's kind of faith is not dependent on what you see or what you have or don't have. And lastly, we need to really persevere. And as we persevere, we're not persevering with our raw, gritted strength, saying, oh, I'm going to persevere. No, we're persevering as we receive strength from God to keep us going. In Jesus' name. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this morning. We ask that as we've looked at faith, that you will strengthen us. Father, I ask that for anyone that is weary amongst us, that you will give us strength, that you will help us. Father, I thank you because your word says that you have dealt to every man the measure of faith. Father, we ask that you will help us to understand faith more as just simple trust in you. Father, for anyone that is going through any challenge here, we ask that you will encourage them. We ask that you renew their strength. Father, I ask that you will open, give us the eyes of faith that you gave Abraham. The eyes that sees those things that are not as though they are, as we trust in you. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.